Hello and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are three Latinx besties reading romance. We take turns and this month it was my turn to pick. So we will be discussing I'm Not Supposed to Be in the Dark by Riss M. Nielsen. Let's just share what we're wearing, drinking, backgrounds, etc. I have a dried herb bouquets on a rack sort of background. I was envisioning Lolo's like magical shop and thinking that this might be kind of the corner where he keeps all his herbs. And I'm drinking some tea out of my I'm with her mug, which is extra funny because, you know, she gets buried alive in the book. And my tea is a gripe tea from PR. So it's supposed to help if you have like a cold or something. And it's got ginger, star anise, sage, and I never know how to say this. I always say equinicaca, but I know that's not what it is. The equine one. You know what I'm talking about. The
equinicaca.
La echinacea.
La echinacea. Yeah. With a little drizzle of maple syrup. So that's what I'm drinking. What about you, Chris or Shai?
I'm having beer because that is what I would drink if I were having a rough time. I don't tend to turn to tea regularly, and it's too hot here to have tea, so I'm having a Brooklyn Sunny Citrus Lager. I'm just at home. I didn't turn on my background because it's like not, it never looks good. It always just looks a little off, and I have my little head wrap on because if I'm working with the earth and I'm like working with plants and stuff, I'd be like, look at my hair and my face.
I mean, beer is medicinal, isn't it?
Sure. My dad would say yes.
Oh dear. Hello everybody. My soft and sultry voice is because I started work and I instantly got sick. One of the kids got me sick. I work at a school and I should be drinking gripe tea, but it is also too hot here, so I'm having iced tea out of my frog mug instead. There's ice cubes in here and everything. My background is just kind of like a POV, like you're on the ground looking up into some magical wisteria trees, which I had no idea what a freaking wisteria plant. I feel like I had no concept consciously of what a wisteria plant looked like. But anyway, yeah, that's my background. And then I wore my purple New Orleans like touristy hat to kind of like go with the magical vibes. This story does not take place in New Orleans, but I did my best. So yeah,
that's me personally, I felt like an idiot because I had no concept of what these trees look like, and then once I googled them I was like, oh my gosh, Andrea, they're on the freaking cover. Like, why did I not make that connection?
Same No, I was like, oh I get
that
it now.
Purple. got it
I just now realized.
Okay, good.
With Chris's background, I was like, oh yeah, it's those purple trees. And I completely blacked out that the cover even had purple leaves because I was distracted by how pretty the character looked. And I was like, oh, mira que linda.
Yes. Bueno, but Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the book?
So this is from the Goodreads, I'm Not Supposed to Be in the Dark by Riss M. Nielsen. From the author of Deep in Providence comes a paranormal young adult romance that follows a teen convinced that her best friend turned enemy is possessed by a ghost, perfect for fans of White Smoke and Twilight. We'll talk about it. 17-year-old Aria Cayetano dreams of ghosts. She used to see them too, but thanks to a special tea brewed by her grandfather, Aria's connection to the spirit world has been severed. Until a decades-old rosebush suddenly dies across the street, convincing Aria that something supernatural is happening in her neighborhood. She aches to investigate it, but the rosebush sits on her ex-best friend Derek Johnson's front lawn, and she can't question him because he hates her now. Aria doesn't know what drove them apart years ago, but she does know Derek's been acting strange for weeks, sneaking out in the dead of night to who knows where. Then, days after the rosebush dies, Derek begins speaking to her again. At least Aria thinks it's him, until she discovers there's a ghost inside of Derek that will take his life if it doesn't find what it's searching for. As Arya and Derek race to uncover the mystery, another kind of magic takes them by surprise. Love. But Arya has to decide how far she's willing to go to save Derek, especially when helping the ghost means tapping into whatever the tea has buried inside of her. Bone-chilling and spellbinding, I'm Not Supposed to Be in the Dark is an alluring ghost story that's about exorcising the past to find a future to believe in.
Good job. I mean, I read that.
I read part of that, but we must talk about it.
Okay, Tosh, can you read us Riss's bio?
Yes, I can. So this is from their website, rizmnielsen.com. Born in Providence, Rhode Island, Riz M. Nielsen is a magna cum laude graduate of the Rhode Island College. She won the English department's Jean Garrigue Award, which was judged by novelist Nick White. She's from Providence and lives for the city's art and culture scene. When she's not writing, she's watching anime or playing video games with her two children. Deep in Providence is her debut novel. And it does not say this on her website, but she should be a hair model because her curls are fly AF.
Yes. And if anybody follows her on Instagram, or if you're into hair and you don't, then maybe you should, because also her children have fantastic hair. They could be a family of hair models, honestly.
The dream.
I know, but I also, because they all have curly hair, now I'm wondering, like, what wash day is like at their house. Like, I wonder, like, if they stagger their days or if they do the all at the same time.
I'm sure they do. There's not enough hot water for all of that. Bueno, well, this is your spoiler alert warning. We are now about to start discussing the book. So if you haven't read it and you get upset about spoilers, then you should pause here, go read it, and then come back. If you don't care about spoilers, because also I feel like this is one of the books that tells you a lot in the description. So if you don't care about spoilers, there's really not that many left, to be perfectly honest. Just listen along with us and you'll be fine. Okay, so why I picked the book. I picked this book because I kind of wanted to dip my foot into a little bit more of genre romance. I feel like over the years, and depending how long you've been listening to us, over the years, you might have noticed my romance book preferences like changing or me just having more of an open mind. And I feel like anything that's like a genre romance, by which I mean, you know, fantasy, sci-fi, paranormal, mysteries, I don't know, you know, anything like that hasn't been my go-to. I think just in general, in my reading, I'm more of a contemporary kind of reader. And so this was kind of a little taste test. I liked what I read. I'm excited for this hangout and watch for more genre romance picks from me next year. But I picked this one because it was a ghost story. I hadn't picked a paranormal romance before, I don't think. And I have been thinking about ghost romances ever since our Mother's Day episode. If you were around back then, we let each of our mothers pick a romance book for us to read. And then we got together and discussed it. It was really fun. And Tashai read this like ghost romance that I've been thinking about ever since. And obviously this is YA, so a different category. But when I saw the beautiful cover, because it truly is one of the most beautiful covers of the year, I think, and then saw that it was a ghost romance, I was sold. So that's why I picked it. Overall impressions, I don't know if one of you wants to go first or if you want me to go first. What I can say is, and I think this informed my reading, is I do think that this is a younger YA. I feel like sometimes when we read YAs in romance book club, they are older YA, kind of almost new adult. And this was definitely giving younger YA vibes. And so I tried to read it with the mentality of a 13-year-old. Because that's who I think it is aimed at, not at like 17-year-olds, if that makes sense. Because even though they're all teens, there's a very wide gap. So keeping that in mind, I really enjoyed it. I had a fun time reading it. I think a lot of kids will really like this one. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. What did you all think overall?
I liked the writing style and I liked the concept of the book. I don't think this is a romance. There's barely, it's like once she realizes that Derek has a ghost inside of him, it's like she keeps interpreting every kind of move or thing he says as like a Derek, and then it's the ghost. And it happens so many times that I'm like, girl, get the ghost out of him before you try to catch feelings for this guy that you've like had feelings for forever. Because every time he's like looking at her and she gets all hot and bothered, he comes over and he's like, oh, hey. She's like, oh, shit, it's a ghost. By this like fifth time, I'm like, mira, ya, you gotta like put a pause on your feelings because it's the ghost hitting on you and you don't know how old the ghost is yet. And so like, I don't know what's happening here. So the fact that it's like labeled a romance, it was like missing romance, which makes sense because Derek is like dying and is like not in charge of his own body most of the time by the end of it. So I liked the like themes and I liked the concept of the plot, but I just wish there had been like more of her and her family like working together on this, because most of it is her trying to like find out what's going on. And it feels like it takes a really long time before it finally gets to some like action. So I think I wish the pacing had been a little faster and I wish that there had been more romance, because overall the vibes were like nice. Like there was nice tension. It was like spooky. Like there was like a good stuff going on, but I'm like scanning through descriptions of stuff because I'm like trying to get to where stuff is happening, because while the world building was nice, it just went on, in my opinion, like a little too long in some parts. And I'm like, yo, I'm trying to like get to the conversations because I want to know what's going on. I don't need to know what these trees look like again. So that being said, I think it'd be a good book for someone younger. Like you said, this does feel like it skews for a younger reading audience. After I got about halfway through, I was like, okay, this is definitely for like a younger reader. And I haven't read a book like that in a really long time. So I think that's also why it took me probably more time to be able to get into the swing of things than it like otherwise might have. But I think she's a good writer. I think she's skilled. I'm curious about what other stuff she like about her other book, the Providence one. But yeah, that's my interpretation. I probably wouldn't reread it, but I think if you're someone young who's into like ghost stories, you could enjoy it. I just wouldn't go into it assuming that it's going to be romantic, because like I didn't find it to be very romantic.
That being said, going off of that, I think if this was made into like a TV show, you could up the romance very easily just by like gazes.
Well, that's the thing. She's like, oh my God, is Derek looking at me from across the room?
Yeah.
He's just staring. But she's like, his eyes are black. And that's another thing that I was laughing at, because I'm like, girl, you know Derek has brown eyes. If his eyes look black, it's the ghost. What are you talking about?
Don't worry, Tash. We're going to talk about this. You've already addressed like three of my questions and your overall impression.
Black eyes. I'm like, nope, it's the ghost. It's a ghost again, girl.
We will, don't worry. You will have a chance to elaborate on all of these points during my questions.
Yeah, there were things about this that I really liked, and there were things about it that I wish it had more of. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. Having read the comp titles that they have for this book are like White Smoke, which I read and enjoyed, but also had issues with because of pacing and because the horror didn't have enough bite for me to feel like there was enough tension. Is White Smoke and Twilight. And I do wish, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I wish it had skewed way more Twilight than it had to White Smoke. I feel like I didn't know Arya and Derek how they were prior to the story's start, in order for me to really be super invested in why she was so obsessed with him or so interested in his well-being and why he was so dead set on rejecting her. I almost wish that they had kind of started off as a couple in the story, and then he changes and she's like, this isn't you. And then, you know what I mean? I do wish that that had been the case, very much like Twilight, even like New Moon, like, this isn't you, you know, like very much like something like that, where even if you're not like a Twilight reader, you know the story I'm talking about. You know the, there's something wrong here and nobody sees it but me because I know the real you. Like that's, I was missing like that angst. And for the romance part, that's what was missing for me, because maybe this is because of how I am personally, but if someone's like, I don't want to talk to you, I'm like, okay, we don't talk. We're done. But obviously, like, these are kids, so I know that that's easier said than done, but I'm also like, ay, nena, déjalo. The descriptive language was excellent. I thought that was good. I liked the magic. I liked the magic shop. I enjoyed the family. I liked the family trying their best to kind of like protect her from things that they didn't like fully 100% understand, or making decisions for her that they thought were the best. Yeah, I did enjoy that conflict. And I, when hearing Tashai's kind of like overall impressions of like, oh, I wish the family had more to do in the solving of Derek's, because I think it would have been cool to see the families coming together in order to help this kid. Just because it would have been really interesting, like, oh, we've learned from our mistakes. Now we're going to come together to help fix this. And I don't know. I think it would have been really interesting. But that being said, I enjoyed the story and the moments where she's kind of like in that in between like gray world. I found them to be really cool, especially the scene where he like gets Marcus, the ghost, gets sucked into the abyss. I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Sometimes YAs just don't bring the horror. And I read horror outside of book club for fun. And so I'm used to varying degrees, and sometimes it's almost there. It's almost there where I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? And sometimes it just isn't for the most part. So I liked it when the book like went there. It wasn't like too scary, but the imagery I felt was just very compelling in those scenes. So yeah, a bit of a mixed bag. I don't know. I also thought the idea of a rose bush smelling like shit sounded really funny. Those are my overall impressions, because I'm down to keep talking about it and answering your questions. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you both have already answered my first question, which was about the romance, but you can elaborate in however way you would like. So yeah, I just wanted to start off with the romance, obviously, because this is a romance book club. And I just wanted to know if you all shipped this sort of second chance romance, which now I know neither of you did, but you could tell me why. And most importantly, and I feel like I thought you all were going to agree with me, but now I think maybe you're not. I was very into the chemistry between her and Marcus the ghost. So I just wanted to know like what you all thought about that, because I shipped her and Marcus more than her and Derek, and I just was really vibing with that dynamic. But also, I would have been open to a poly situation. Like, I feel like one of them brings it up at one point. It doesn't become a thing, right? But they bring it up. I don't know. I didn't
When she's hiding under the bed, and then he tells her, I literally know this because I finished reading like a couple hours ago, where he's like, oh, but like, Derek's not so lonely anymore. Like, he called me in because he was lonely, and now he has you and me. So this guy, I was like, hang on a second.
whatever scene that was when they said that, I literally stopped and I was like, you know what? I would read the adult erotic version of this for sure. I was into it. I would read it. So anyway, yeah, just curious about, you know, you can elaborate on your thoughts on the romance and whatever direction that takes you.
I think that I wasn't into the romance as much because for the first like chunk of the book, for the first part of the book, they're like not talking. He doesn't want to be near her. He doesn't want to talk to her. He doesn't want to be around her. And something has happened 2 years ago that had like broke up this lifelong friendship. So then when he starts looking at her and paying attention to her, immediately I'm like, that's the ghost. And the fact that she knows about this otherworldly stuff and isn't immediately confused as to why, she just goes along with it. She's like, oh yeah, okay, I guess we'll go hang out. I would immediately suspect something is going on because this person has been super not into even talking to her. And then when she finds out he's the ghost, she still is like, and I think a lot of this has to do with how into him she is, that she just like is convincing herself. I think there's part of her that subconsciously she just is like choosing to believe that every time something comes out of his mouth, it's him at first before she lets herself understand that it's the ghost. Because the switch in personality is so abrupt that I'm like, how are you not? Like, girl, come on. So I know that it's not Derek. And I don't know who Marcus is. I don't know where he came from. I don't know how old he is until they find out that he's 18. And even then, she knows nothing about him except that he's, like, killing Derek. So every time he's flirting with her, it's, like, gross to me. I'm like, I don't care that you're in this hot guy's body. You're being, like, super fucking creepy. Y estás matándolo pa colmo. So then when she's like, oh, like, I'm a little attached to him, I'm like, that's Stockholm Syndrome, but okay. And then eventually she and Derek like make up and he's like, oh yeah, I, which also then the reason for them not talking anymore just didn't really feel like a strong reason. It's like, well, you kept trying to like fix things or like find my mom and I just needed to like feel sad. So I just figured like, well, fuck our, you know, 12 years of friendship. There was just so much going on that I'm like, he needs to exercise Marcus, and then they need to like get to know each other again and like rebuild that trust, because it's like they forgave and forgot real fast, and then suddenly it's like, oh, that kiss, and it's like, okay, yeah, the kiss was fun, but again, there's a ghost in you. We have other things to be like having to worry about right now. So I think that post exorcism, like, I can see their relationship being great and having a lot of fun and reconnecting and, like, building a much stronger relationship. It was just one of those, like, I couldn't turn off the fact that, like, he's dying. There's, like, a dead man inside this body, and he's, like, weirdly hitting on you, even though, again, you don't, like, I don't know. No sé. I couldn't turn it off of, like, wait, when did he die? Is he dead? Is he, like, a 1960s ghost? Like, what is this? Because he's been floating around in the gray space, like, for how long has he been gone for? Like, that kept coming up to the surface, and I'm like, yeah, he might have been 18 when he died, but if he's been haunting around here for like 45 years, eres un viejo. So that's my opinion on the romance.
Okay, Tashai, don't worry. I won't send you my erotic ghost romance for you to read.
You know what, though?
As like, long as the ghost isn't, like, 58 trying to fuck a 16-year-old, I'm fine with it.
So the ghost has to be freshly dead.
Yes.
Or that she needs to be older, and then he can be as old as he needs to be. You know exactly what I mean? She just needs to be an adult.
If she can rent a car, she can bang a ghost. That's fine. Those are my rules.
Understood. I understand that we had very different reading experiences.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So Shai was saying like, and Andrea was saying, oh.
Ooh.
And Christina was going, huh.
Yeah, okay. True story. Yeah. I was like, huh. Okay. So here's where I stand on it. Once I kind of figured out what was going on, right? Once I figured out what the deal was with Derek and Arya, and I'm saying Arya like Arya Stark. I don't know how, if this is how this her name was pronounced, but that's what I'm going with. I felt better about it, and I could see where the story was going, but like I said, I had kind of wished that they had been together at the start of the book, because I feel like then the stakes would have been much higher. I also thought that the reason why Derek wasn't talking to her was silly. Like, okay, just talk to her about it. But then when it's kind of revealed that maybe the tea removed a bit of her empathy, I could see how maybe she was trying to solve the problem and not really considering his feelings, and she was doing too much, and nothing maybe that he said was coming through to her. That's how I was kind of like putting those Lego blocks into place. Now, about Marcus. I read it more like cool guy ghost, you know, like he does the lean on the he does the lean on the bathroom door type thing. That's the kind of person I thought. I feel like he said he was haunting the area for like 16 years or something like that, which seems like a long time. And any time that you read like these supernatural stories, these super those paranormal romances, there's the issue of how long has the monster been around and how long has the young female romance love interest been around. And that's always going to be like weird. The way that I reconciled it was that even though he was haunting and like hanging out, he wasn't like growing up. Like he was stuck at 18. And that's how I felt sort of okay about it. That being said, I did consider either the throuple situation or I low-key texted this to Andrea. And I was like, what if like Derek just dies? And then, I don't know, like Marcus takes over and then we start from there. Like, I actually thought that that would have been like a really interesting story. Hear me out. Yeah, I think the story does fine on its own. I just was like conspiracy boarding, you know, like what if this had happened or what if this had happened? And that was like the most interesting concept to me because it feels like, I feel like I watched a soap opera like El Cuerpo del Deseo, right? The old man dies at the same time as the young man dies and then their souls switch or something. And so the young man has the old man's soul and then he comes back and, you know, he realizes he comes back and he pretends he's the chauffeur and he finds out how all of these people were plotting against him and how he actually was killed instead of died of a heart attack. Anyway, all that to say, I am into body switching stories and I'm into, you know, like, what do we do? Where do we go from here? Like, you know, there's a second chance, but blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. That probably would have changed the story. But
I do have a spot open for next year's picks. So maybe I could try to find an erotic adult.
I think we should lean into, yeah, we should lean into ghost romance to see. We got to find what we're looking for specifically. I don't think it was in this one. Hey, like there's stories about people that think they have sex with ghosts all the time. Like it's a thing. It's a thing. So there's got to be one out there. It's got to be one out there. But
the one that my mom recommended had a ghost and had sex in it. I thought that was a pretty good ghost story, erotica.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we read it for the special episode. I'm talking about, like, one that's, like, we all partake in, you know, emotionally. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the romance and on the ghost romance. Super tangenty, but yeah.
Well, moving on from the romance, where we all clearly fall on different parts of the spectrum. I have learned a lot about all of us in this episode. The other thing I wanted to talk about, which I think both of you mentioned in your overall impressions too, was the world building and not just the way like the spirit stuff worked and her dreams and stuff, but also like the more concrete world building of like her grandfather's store and what he did as a job and all of that stuff. I personally loved Lolo's shop and I wanted to spend way more time in there. But yeah, I was just wondering what were your favorite or least favorite parts about this world that's pretty much like a contemporary world, right? But just has all this magic-y stuff in it.
I thought the world building was good. I don't think I necessarily paid too much attention. I think the place that had the most energy put into it was the grandpa's workshop / store, which I just kind of pictured like a house that was messy, like lots of ingredients everywhere, and then his wife being like annoyed because it's messy. Like that's how I pictured it in my head. Other than that, we only really spend time in like her house, and her mom's always working and like is never around, and then expects her to like follow rules, which I always think is funny. I'm like, look, when I swear to you that your kid's not gonna get into, like, your daughter has ghost powers and you just aren't at home. There's no babysitter, there's no one around to like keep an eye on her. Like, it was inevitability that these things were going to happen. So that's a different thought. Pero,
I thought it was funny when she'd be like, Mom, what would happen if I didn't take my tea? And the mom's like, well, no, you need to take your tea. Okay, bye. Going to work. Take your tea.
I see you're holding your tea. You better drink it. But I'm going to go. I'm going to go work an 18-hour shift. But I trust you.
I feel like she asked, like, really, like, to me, would have been, like, very red flaggy question.
Ma, what does cocaine feel like? Mom, how far would someone have to go to be able to get a plan B and or a Planned Parenthood?
Those are exactly the kind of questions that would get me, like, grounded before I would even do- I would be, like, legitimately curious about something, and my mom would be like, you're grounded. What? Just I heard about it at school, and I'm just like, you're grounded.
But it's illegal. She's just like, oh yeah, like, if you don't take your tea, you know, spirits could possess your body, but I gotta go, I'm late for work, but bye. Be safe getting to your grandpa's house, but don't bother him too much. Pero no, I thought the world building was nice. I thought the way they described the gray space was cool. I wish we had seen, like, more of it, because most of what we got was, like, kind of quick flashes, and I wish she had, like, explored and, like, touched stuff. I don't know, like, see what glows, see what doesn't glow. I think the only other place that they mentioned was, like, that haunted house thing that they went to with the teacher. And I'm like, what kind of extracurricular is that? Like, what is this after school? We go to haunted places. How haunted is your town or, like, the direct cities around it that's just, like, part of your class that you're taking? And also, there should be more than one chaperone. These kids are just walking around in the dark by themselves. That's how pregnancies happen.
I love a magical family. My hope is that if there's more books in this universe, then we'll get to meet. I feel like a lot of the adults, right, were, like, very in and out, you know, very much like, oh, Lolo's here, Lola's here. And, you know, this lady with the tarot cards and this one with the, you know, I did feel like adults were very much in and out of the picture, which gives, like, right, the young characters a lot of space to do their thing. But also then is like, okay, well, what actually is going on behind the scenes? Like, what are the conversations that are happening, you know, over here? And I mean, at one point she does, like, overhear a conversation happening. But I felt like that was kind of, like, missing from the family unit, which is why I kind of hoped, I kind of wished that they had come together, you know, very much like end of Practical Magic, get the neighborhood involved, you know, we're going to put these brooms together and we're going to cast the spirit out. And it's going to be like a, you know, nice little potluck afterwards. Yeah. That being said, though, I did enjoy the idea of her magic powers. I liked the power of the wisteria. I think that Lolo is, like, a Filipino term for grandfather, grandmother, elder. And so it made me curious. I haven't, like, looked into it again because I'm just finished reading the book. But it did make me curious about, like, what aspects are, like, okay, we just made this up for the book, and, like, what aspects, like, fit into, you know, folklore or anything that I may have missed or what have you. Good questions for the author, I guess. She's not here.
Yeah, and I will say the author is she has Filipino heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And often gets tagged in, like, Latinx posts.
Oh no.
Because there's, like, a Latina character in her first book.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, I guess, because there is a Latina character, she just tries to write, like, very diverse characters. So I think she's written a couple of Latina characters. And then because she has, like, curly hair and kind of, like, brown skin, or people, like, see the main character's name and don't realize that a lot of Filipino names sound like Spanish names, mm-hmm. too. But, oh, yeah, I know that's been a thing where, like, people have done, like, roundup posts on Bookstagram of, like, Latinx books, and they'll, like, include her books. And she's like, oh, thank you so much, pero I'm not a Latina.
Yeah, I mean, just do a quick Google search, I guess. And some authors don't have that out and about. I mean, we've had this issue where, like, we're not sure, like, is this own voices or, you know, are we using own voices? But yeah, aside from that, I wish that had been a little bit more family dynamics in that part of the world building. I did feel like it was, like, lacking. I feel like we see a lot, but it's so fleeting. And if there is kind of, like, a continuation of this world, I would like more her really getting in there and learning the store stuff and, you know, having her just kind of like not go to college and just work at this magic shop.
I want to know about her sister. Her sister.
Yes.
Yes. And perfect.
Okay. So quick segue into another one of my questions before Tash like answers this question completely. Mm. There are a lot of side characters in this book that, like Chris said, and Tashai has already said, we don't see a ton of. And so, yes, I wanted to know specifically, like, if there was a sequel that was set within this same world, within the same, like, family unit, like, who is the side character that you most wanted to know about and why? Take it away, Tashai.
Why would you assume that I immediately was going to answer? Damn. Rude. No. Obviously, I was already talking about this earlier. La hermana. Her sister seems cool. She just shows up. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? What's going on? You look like shit. What are you doing? Have you been doing stuff? Have you been doing magic stuff? Did you stop drinking your tea? But she also kind of bullies her to be like, bueno, if you keep drinking that tea, you're never going to know what's going on.
And then she like never picks up the phone either.
I know, which makes me think that she's like solving crime, spirit crime, wherever she lives. She's like, no, I'm busy with school. JK, she's actually just like solving ghost crimes in her own way with whatever her special power is, you know. I would like to read a prequel / current time where maybe we get flashback information on like the sister working in the store and like there's background hints about Arya having powers and the sister and the family trying to work to figure out what to do about it. And then at the same time, it's like modern day and the sister's like trying to figure out some stuff and maybe comes back home at one point and Arya is like older and now knows how to use her powers and we get a greater like exposure to that stuff. And then Derek like drives by and drops off food and then leaves.
You know, I would also love to know way more about the sister because, yeah, she seemed cool. And her unavailability made me really suspicious. It did make me really suspicious. I'm like, okay, what is this bitch up to? You know, like, I know that college is busy and all, but, like,
Not that busy,
you know? And she did seem to care for her sister. So it's not like she was, you know, had an issue with the family or an issue being there.
She really knew shit because she was like, take this knife. And then she's like, okay, don't be an idiot. You can't use it on yourself. You know what I mean? Like she knew shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely the sister as well. I also kind of imagined her as kind of like a paranormal Jessica Jones, you know, like ghost detective.
I was very curious about this El Rivera person too. I was like, they sound super wild and chaotic. But I feel like that wouldn't be like a sequel. It would be more like, what do you call those books when it's like in the same universe, but it's like completely different set of characters? Because I wouldn't want to see her like working with Arya. I would want to see what she's up to, like on the other side of the world. Like what does she do for work?
Like so. extended universe.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it would be an adult book. Like there'd probably be a lot of violence. She seems like the kind of person who wouldn't think twice about like murdering people.
Stop.
Just yeah. Stop. So her. Okay. How are we doing on? I still have two questions left. I feel like we're
doing fine.
A lot of shit, and I don't know how much time.
Well, we started recording at 4:30, so we're as far as like recording time, we're good. Okay. Like we talked a lot, and then I pressed record. We talked a little bit, so
okay.
Keep going.
So my next question, which again we've already talked about, I need to come up with more unique questions. No, this is like feedback for myself. I wanted to talk about the idea of the tea. And this isn't so much a question about the book as it is about yourselves. So in the book, like Arya has been faithfully drinking this tea twice a day for like pretty much all of her life. And I love the idea of the tea, but I was surprised that it took so long before she got like curious enough to try not drinking it. I was just surprised that hadn't happened earlier. I know if it were me, it wouldn't have even been on purpose. I would just forget to drink the tea. And so I was just curious, like, how do you think it would have gone down? Like, if you were Arya, would you have drank this tea 2 times a day for your whole life as told by your elders? Or would you have just said, like, fuck it at age, like, 8? I was just curious.
I feel like if my family had been like, Tishai, drink this tea and it'll help you, like, not have IBS, then I'd be like, okay. I would just drink it. And I wouldn't question it if it actually did help, too. If it was, like, a combo two-hitter, protects me from psychic attack and then also helps me with my stomach issues, sure. If not, I don't even like tea that much. Can you put it in lemonade? Can you put it in a different beverage? Like, who the hell has time to be drinking a full-ass cup of tea in the morning and at night? I fall asleep on the sofa all the time. So, like, yeah, like you said, it wouldn't even be on purpose. I would just be, like, watching TV and getting sleepy. Next thing you know, I'm already possessed because I fell asleep on the sofa and missed 3 episodes of Bob's Burgers. Like, tendrían que velarme. It would have to be like, okay, Tishai, it's like tea time. Here, mix it with some ice and just chug it. Y ahí pues me lo bebo. Yeah, definitely. I don't think it would be a rebellious thing. I would think it would be like a, I will fall asleep too fast on the sofa.
I love the idea, though, of like if someone was like, this is for your stomach aches, Tishai, and then it actually worked.
Me lo bebo.
You know what I mean? I feel like you really would have. Es como si a mí alguien me dijera, take this tea and you won't ever have nightmares.
Yeah,
I don't care how bad that tea tasted. I would 100% drink it. Okay, so I think the key is the lie. What lie?
Me, my mask. Every time I go home and my stomach gets upset, or I get a headache, or I get like nauseous, I get oftentimes sick somehow. Mami siempre quiere estar de guanabana. She goes and she picks the leaves from that backyard. She boils it, gives it to me with some sugar. I drink it. I take a nap. I wake up. I'm fine. So en mi mente, te de guanabana, cura lo que sea. So if it were something like that, where it's like, oh, toma ta chai, esto te va a ayudar con la barriga, like a lot more if you take it twice a day. Mija, I'd have my jug in the fridge. Yeah.
But if someone said this will keep the ghosts away, you would have been like,
what about my IBS?
Okay.
I have other problems to worry about as a teenage girl.
I don't care about no ghosts. I just don't want to shit my pants, okay?
I just don't want to have to shit at school.
Jesus.
Will the ghosts help me with that? Okay.
I mean, I've always been a coward about ghosts, so I probably would have.
Okay, I thought you were going to be the one who was like, take me magic.
Yeah, okay, like so.
If it were ghosts, I think you'd be like.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I like the idea of it. Here's the thing. I feel like I also would forget, though. I mean, because I feel like even with normal routines, even if it's like, I feel like people are prone to things happen. Like, life happens and your routines are kind of like switched up a little bit. But I would probably, I've always been a little bit of a coward, especially when I was young. I was scared of ghosts. Like, I'm not scared of ghosts now, but like, I was like really terrified of ghosts. We would watch like History Channel, like a haunting that fuck with me. And I would be like, oh shit. You know, I would sleep with like the light on, and I slept with the light on for a long time. Because things used to give me, I don't know, I used to get like freaking night terrors. So I probably would drink it religiously until like a moment when like it didn't happen. And then I'd be like, oh, fuck my tea. but now as a grown up, I don't know. I think that I feel, I don't know. I would question it now as a grown up. But coming up, like growing up, I probably wouldn't question it. Plus, I was really scared of ghosts. Like, I feel like because the tea protected her from ghosts and it also like restricted her feelings about it, for her to kind of like abandon it was not that big of a deal, like, because she was like detached, you know, she was like very detached emotionally from the whole thing. So as the ghost shit starts to happen, maybe she wasn't as scared as she should have been, or as she could have been. So like lots of factors, but no, me at like 17, scared of ghosts, drinking the tea on the clock every day as soon as I can. A little timer on my little iPhone 3, you know? Yeah, I know. I wish that I could have a more magical answer, but I love magic. No, I love aliens, right? And weird shit. I just was really scared of ghosts.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I think Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, I think it's just that it depends on the kind of ghosts. Like in this case, it's like people who've died that are just like trying to pass on, you know, is like she understands this about the ghosts. I'm not scared about the thought of that kind of ghost. Ahora, si yo me mudo a una casa and spooky shit is happening in that house, like I would never be like in the movies. Like I would turn right back around and move right out. Like I'm not messing around with like a prankster of a ghost or like a revengey. If the ghost can touch objects, I'm out. I think that's what freaks me out. But like the ghosts don't seem to be able to do that in this world. Maybe that's where my line is. What are these ghosts capable of?
It's just that, yeah, ghosts are a mixed bag. And like the stuff that we used to watch on TV or like the movies, it was like possession doesn't sound like what Derek was going through sounds very mild compared to like
No, it's a classic Animorph situation. You've got it like a yerk in your brain. That's what it reminded me of.
We always return to Animorphs every episode. Somehow we find a way.
Okay, pero dime que it's not like that. Like he
You're
has
not wrong.
someone like
Exactly. So it doesn't seem like, you know, unless we're talking about like William Peter Blatty's like The Exorcist, where there's like a child and there's that's a whole nother level of possession that I was terrified about. I was like, I don't want nothing to do with this. Get out of here.
I used to feel okay watching all those horror movies when I was a kid because my house is next door to a church. So I was like, mira, worst comes to worst, me tiran por la abeja. And then I was like, also, this always happens to white people. I don't think ghosts are like, I don't think these demons are like ending up in Puerto Rico. It would have to be some sort of local folklore situation. And I wasn't seeing that in books or TV. So no me asustaba. Salud.
Okay, well, I just have one final question. And you already know what it is. We talked about it earlier. But I know it's come up in our conversations, how I think we were all collectively surprised that it took Arya so long to figure out that Derek was possessed. For me, I get the little things, but I think the conversation they had where he like completely misremembered
Her
that like
scar.
yeah the scar, like for me at that point I would have been like, oh shit, he's possessed. Like that was such like a clear example, you know, you can't interpret that any other way. But anyway, so I was just curious if you had an inkling that's that maybe someone you loved, for example one of us, was possessed, how would you figure that out? Like, what would be the question you would ask, or what would be the thing you would do to suss out if we were actually us and not a ghost named Marcus? And I can go first if you want, because I
I
wrote
was going to
down.
say, can you
Okay.
start? Can you start? How would
Okay.
you know that me or Tashai were possessed by
Okay.
a
So
spirit?
the one that I thought of for Tashai, I think is really funny. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Tashai is all the way in New York City. And I am in Central Virginia. So it is probably like a 7 hour, no, like a 10 hour drive, right? Between us. I don't know. It's a really long drive.
I know us driving to North Carolina is usually like an 8 hour
Okay.
drive.
So let's say like a 10 hour drive. So my thing is, I would say, hey Tosh, I just happened to win two tickets for a dinner with Stanley Tucci, but I can't go. Could you and Ivan get in a car right now and drive to Virginia? And I think if you were possessed, you'd be like, no, I have work. You're 10 hours away. Like, work is really stressful right now. But real Tashai and Ivan would never pass up the chance to have a private dinner with Stanley Tucci.
Girl, I'd buy a flight.
That's what I'm saying, but like
I
you
put that
wouldn't
shit
talk
on my
to him.
credit
You wouldn't
card. I'd be
immediately be
like,
like, I'm there.
hey guys, I got hit by a cab. I can't go to work. I can't go to work today. I got hit by a cab and then air conditioner water fell in my mouth. I gotta go to the hospital. I'll be back in 3 days. Get in
Is the 3 days just in case you all hit it off and the
the car.
dinner? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that would be
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That'd be hard to figure out to shy. And then I think for Chris, I have read so many drafts of various writing projects that you've worked on through the years that I've known you. And so I think I would just make a reference to something you've written that's not published or anything like that. And if you didn't get it, I'd be like, fake. Because real Chris, if I was going around like professing my love for things that you've written, you would react. You would absolutely react. So.
I like how both of yours are like, okay, I already sense that there's something going on. So now I'm going to test it. You know, I'm going to test it.
Yeah. Well, because I think that I consider myself very empathetic. And I also feel like I know my friends pretty well at this point. So I feel like I would sense it. I would have an inkling. And maybe Andrea from, maybe like 12-year-old Andrea wouldn't have thought possession. But 35-year-old Andrea, with all the books I've read, like, I know the signs. And my mind is open to the wonders of the world that I may not have experienced yet. So I wouldn't rule it out.
Love it. Those are good. I like those.
Let me think. Do you have yours already, Tashai? Do you have, like, how you would know if we were possessed?
I think with you, Chris, I would probably just like make up some sort of story about our childhood and be like,
oh
yeah, remember when like Joelle professed his love for me and then I was super into it and we like dated for a year?
Like, no, bitch, you're lying. Yeah. Sorry, I'm possessed, right? So I'm like, yeah, it was a great relationship. Oh my God.
Yeah, he was so cute. I'd be like, you know that I ran away.
What would your test be for Andrea? What would your test be for Andrea?
I would. There's a couple of different things. I think it comes down to offering things. For example, Andrea, I have this other guinea pig that needs a home.
Okay, that's actually a great one because the ghost would know I have two pet guinea pigs. So you're right, that's a great one.
So ghost would be like, oh my God, yeah, my guinea pigs need a sibling. And I'd be like,
immediately text Andrea me. Would be like, bitch, I'm counting down the days until these fucking guinea pigs die.
The other one would be like, showing up to Virginia and being like, oh, Andrea, let's go get lunch. And I would take you to go get milkshakes. I would take you somewhere out to eat. And I wouldn't like look up to make sure that it's a vegan place. And I would wait to see if you like brought it up. Because I feel like even if the ghost was finding stuff out about you, it wouldn't immediately like be something that comes to mind, because that's something that comes to mind when you have done it as a person for years, yeah. Not when you're just like doing something for the first time. So, or no, cars, that's, you're when right. We're driving somewhere.
Wait, will you be car sick too?
I forgot my name before I got the car. Do my baby and then I'm in it. If I offer to drive somewhere and you're like, okay, and you get in the car, I'd be like, oh my God. So, guinea pigs or like offering to drive. If either of those, it's like, oh yeah, okay.
No, those are good ones.
That guinea pig.
The guinea pig one is especially funny because I feel like I only talk about that with you guys. Well, okay. Now whoever's watching this episode.
No, I was about to say my guinea pig. Internet. It's just a lot of work to take care of the pigs.
They are a lot of work. They were not mine originally. I inherited these guinea pigs from a child. And there's just a lot of work, okay? It's not, you know, I love all animals.
They
take
really good care of them. They have their spacious enclosure. It's just that
oh my God,
the problem is that they're living a really bougie life.
That's why they're not dead yet. They're living their best life.
You're going to live a really long life, Andrea's like just counting down the years. It's fucked up, but she takes care of them. Don't fucking worry
like
about
cussing,
it.
Cussing as I get my delivery of special guinea pig hay and like a nice.
Exactly.
Okay, I I don't know, because I feel like those are the things that I would try to as well. If I suspected that you were not you, I would like literally quiz you on something that only you and I would fucking know, Tashai. I would, do you know what I mean? Like, ooh, remember when we ate cheese balls and those like cheese balls and had them with the ices and it tasted like pickles? And, you know, like, that's wrong. You know, really neat.
Yeah, internet, in case you didn't know, like, Tashai and Chris have literally been friends since, like, kindergarten. So there's, like, decades of stories to pick from. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information that we can refer to.
Exactly. And then for Drea, it would really be, like, it would be kind of the same things. I would try to make like offhand comments about like meat, fucking, you know, something random, and then, you know, wait for a reaction.
Get her a first person shooter game versus like a cozy mystery. Be like, hey,
yeah, something. I mean, here's the thing. I know Drea plays. I would be like, oh, I know you hate like survival shows, so let's watch this. Oh, you know what? I would just be like, watch Queer Ultimatum with me again. And because I'd be like, oh, we've never watched that. Let's watch it. And the ghost would be like, sure, that sounds like fun, like a fun best friend activity. And I would immediately know that's not Andrea because she's been scarred by our experience.
You know what? You wouldn't even have to be that direct. You could just be like, hey, Andrea, like, I'm always asking, like, what should I name this character? You literally just have to be like, oh, why not Xander? And I'd be like, fuck that bitch.
Why not Yoli? Why not name them Yoli?
Never.
Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, it would be something like, you know, a deep cut, you know, in the friendship, or something that happened when we lived together, something like that. But yeah, I don't think it would be that hard. I think we would know. Like, okay, something's up. I would immediately text Tashai. I'm like, this bitch is possessed.
I'm in a car. I'm driving to the airport. What am I bringing?
What am I bringing? I don't know. Bring your candles, crystals.
But now I'm going to be living in New Orleans. So anything you need.
Right around the corner. Perfect.
I show up in the house, just beignets. Sorry, I made a pit stop. I couldn't help it. Sorry. Ivan said that he would make me either an old fashioned or like the dirtiest martini he could make me and be like, oh, I'm like experimenting with something new, like try this to like gauge my reaction.
Be like,
I'm like, okay. Yeah. I'd make him a burger with pickles in it and be like, and mustard, and just be like,
eats it. Who are you? What have you done with Ivan?
Exactly. No, I also the joke I told him, I was like, I give you consent if I am possessed by somebody to like just do butt stuff, because it's the only time as you're ever gonna hear that. Yes. You should take advantage of the opportunity. You have my blessing, but then exercise it from me, please.
This is why, like, we can't even label our hangouts teen friendly, even when they're white.
All of the episodes have an E.
Okay, I want to know what else everybody is reading before we leave.
What am I reading?
I can go ahead and share because I have mine right here. I am currently reading Afterglow, which is an anthology of cli-fi, climate fiction. Speculative kind of fiction. And this is an anthology that I'm reading for Chris's Queerthology book club. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. It's all like stories set in the future, but not like such a distant future. It's like a couple hundred years. So it's like the earth has like completely capsized. How are we moving forward? Kind of fiction, just looking at how we can either imagining a future where we manage to intervene in time and save the planet, or where we don't and we're just like picking up the pieces. So very cool, lots of food for thought, and I'm almost done with it. And yeah, if you like cli-fi, which I haven't read an anthology of before, then I really recommend it.
I just got my library copy of In the Dream House.
Hey, both me and Chris have read that.
Yeah, I remember y'all posting about it. So I'll like I said, I'll put holds on things and then see what comes through. But I just got that one, and I have Heart Something Havoc. Heart Something Something. It's the cover with the two people.
And there's Heart, like a Haunts and Havoc.
Yes.
Yeah.
I started reading that one like 2 weekends ago, and I'm about halfway through. It's in my table, but I was like finishing this book and then Princess Diaries book. So that one I still have to finish reading it. And then this one I got.
I think you're gonna really like the Machado book, because I think it's gonna be, you know, they're like they're like sad essays, like the kind you like to write. I just feel like you might be inspired, you know, writing wise from this book.
Oh, recently I also finished reading Yellowface. And I read Sorry Not Sorry, the autobiography by Naya Rivera. And then, yeah, the Princess Diaries 8, 9, 10. I've been reading a lot. I'm at 38 books. I'm 2 books away from my goal.
Woohoo!
My goal was 35, but then I kept reading. So then I put it back up. So now I'm like pushing it up by a couple books.
Proud of you. By the way, Heart Haunt Havoc is by Frades Moon, who is one of my future pick authors. Like,
oh, yeah, that's our December pick.
Yay!
Yeah, I am currently reading The Mountain in the Sea. It's, I don't know if you could see it. It's got like this glorious octopus on the cover, and I got the version that's got like these sprayed edges. It is like a, it reads like a thriller.
The way you're holding it looks really cool, because
yeah,
it cuts the top off, so it's just the octopus floating in the wisteria.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
It is it's a great cover. I like this cover more than the other one, but this is the full cover here. And it is a book about super smart octopuses. So, like, they have developed their own extra human intelligence, and they're going down into like this lab. This marine biologist is pretty much like researching them, and it's really good. If you liked The Arrival, it's that vibe, you know, except it's with creatures that we're supposed to know a lot about, you know. It turns out that it's a little different. Next month we're going to be reading Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 8. I've always wanted to read one of these with y'all. These were instrumental in helping me write sexy scenes in Pull Me From the Deep, because I was like, wait, what goes in where now? And so sometimes I would flip through a quick hit. The theme for this is play. And so I'm really excited to read it. I'm making us like a little journal so that you can jot down your notes, because we're doing another collection similar to when we read Silver, and you know, so you could keep track, because there's quite a few stories in there. But yeah, that's what we're reading next month.
Well, no, but that's all we have for you today. I hope that you are inspired to pick this or other ghost stories up. I know I've learned a lot about both of your relationships to ghosts. So that's been the takeaway for me for this episode. I love that we have been friends for over 8 years now, and I am still learning things about you. So yeah, this was a fun episode for me. I hope that next episode is just as fun. It will definitely be sexier. It'll be an adult themed episode. So if you're into hardcore erotica, or maybe not hardcore, but just more erotic than this episode, then tune in next month.
Thank you for making it to the end of our episode and spending some ghostly time with us. Make sure that you like the video or leave us a comment if you're listening to the podcast version of it. You can support Only Lovers by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. You can also drop some change into our tip jar. You can buy books from our bookshop. There aren't any ghost romances in there yet. I mean, aside from this one, but there might be in the future. Just hang in there. And you can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.